Welcome, welcome, welcome to Magic Hour with Meg and Mel.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
What's up?
Oh my goodness, I'm so glad that we're doing this and that I'm not doing, what is this, technical trial and error? What's that called?
Well, we will never stop with the technical trial and error.
No, I know, but we've discovered that I need a new mic, so sorry about the sound. But
well, it sounds great to me now, so.
Okay, good. It's just the in-between parts.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm so glad you're here. You walked into my home, and my partner and I were having a very intense conversation. As soon as you walked in, could you tell in the air?
Yes, I walked in, and I was like, oh,
we weren't fighting though.
No, I didn't think you were fighting, but you guys were like, come in. And I was like, that was the wrong answer.
Come in.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to back up and do this again. But I'm glad you guys felt comfortable enough to be yourselves with me. That's awesome.
Yeah, you just have that air about you. I think it's really easy to be myself around you. And I have to tell you that I don't have that with most people.
I feel honored.
I don't know. You're just, there's, I think other people probably feel this about you too, though, is really what I mean. I don't mean like about me and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, you bring that. That's the kind of package that you bring to the table. That's pretty damn good.
You like my package?
I do.
I'm pretty proud of my package too now.
Yeah, you know what's in that package.
I'm discovering what's in the package. I feel like Brad Pitt sometimes in Seven, or Morgan Freeman in Seven at the end. Don't open the box. Don't open the box. And it's like Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Yeah.
No, no.
I haven't seen that movie in a very long time.
That's a good movie.
It's about the Seven Deadly Sins.
It's
I know that.
A dark movie.
It's dark.
That's yeah.
One of the movies I've watched. I watched in high school, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a movie that you should watch in high school. If you're into dark stuff.
Oh, yeah. Watch it in high school. Yeah. No.
Were you dark when you were in high school?
Well, I've been dark all my life. I was teased mercilessly for the color of my skin. Was I dark? Yes. My mom used to call me Melancholy Mel.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, no.
I would have gone with Malcontent Mel.
Oh, wow. Great.
You are so not that, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's really strange, right? When I tell people that, they're like, what? Melancholy Mel? You're always so happy. You're always so, you know, exuberant. But she got to see all sides of me, even before I got to see all sides of me. So, and my mom, I do believe, is sensitive to a degree. And whenever I was discontented, she could pick up on it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really adept at hiding it too well.
Yeah. Well, exuberant people struggle too, I think. And I mean, I'm also exuberant, maybe not as exuberant as you, and I get depressed too. And people would describe me probably as like cheery and ba ba ba.
Yeah, but I think I heard that a little earlier today. Yeah. We all have masks, you know, and they serve a purpose. And when it's time for us to remove our masks, we do. When it's time for us to discard our masks, we will. They're not bad. They're just there.
I heard today. I forget what I was probably listening to, like a weird podcast, but I heard,
You mean weirder than this one?
Yeah. In the Exorcist movie, there was a subliminal cut in it and it was a death mask. Did you ever hear of that? Because
I heard of that and I wonder if I've seen it.
They admitted they did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've seen that death mask in the Exorcist, but it's the Exorcist, so
that's what I was thinking.
You kind of expect weird shit to show up on the screen.
What made it really scary?
I mean,
there was this other podcast that was putting The Mummy against The Blair Witch Project. They're doing the best movies of 1999, and they like put those up against each other.
The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
They're like in completely different categories.
One's like popcorn schlock and one's like an art house horror.
if you want to call it that, art house horror.
Well, it was the first movie that
found footage genre.
No one's done it as well since either, I don't think. Those found footage movies.
Yeah.
It's so intentional. The way that they filmed the Blair Witch Project, like sometimes those actors didn't even know what they were doing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I mean, I did find it, you know, I wanted more, I guess, from it.
I like to believe it was real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
I thought it was real. It was cool.
Yeah, I didn't really jump on the Blair Witch wagon.
But did you like The Mummy?
I did. And The Mummy Returns and The Mummy again, whatever it was. I watched all of them. I watched them frequently. They remind me of like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, they're Indiana Jones.
That nice Technicolor mythology thing. I love that.
I should watch those again.
They're great. They're good fun. They're just good, plain,
good fun.
Like, get your popcorn and enjoy your schlock.
Yeah.
And watch
that's
The Mummy.
That other one is. What am I thinking of? Not The Mummy.
Scorpion King with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, Dwayne The Rock. No, I was thinking of National Treasure.
Oh, yeah. I like National Treasure. And National Treasure, too.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin put the treasure to the Masons on the back of the Declaration of Independence.
We watched that movie on vacation in D.C.
Yeah.
The second one. It was fun because we had just gone to those museums.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a lot of those movies are fun.
And you cannot not like it because Sean Bean is in National Treasure 1. You got to love Sean Bean.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can't think of his face.
Sean Bean, have you ever seen Patriot Games? Now that might be that might be a Gen X thing.
It is. I've seen
slash baby boomer thing.
I can't remember it.
Yeah, I like Tom Clancy movies.
I like John Carpenter movies.
Oh, I like those too. I don't know. I have a real affinity for like spy shit.
Yeah, what any good spy? Oh, there's a spy book over there, The Avenue of Spies, about spies in Paris during the Nazi takeover.
That sounds cool. Yeah,
my boss gives me all these Nazi, like World War II spy.
Cool.
To read. He's really into them. He's giving me some cool ones.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I like that type of stuff.
Espionage. Were you into like the Cold War? Like you like cartoons, so were you into Boris and Natasha?
No, that's not. I couldn't get past Rocky and Bullwinkle. I'm like, what the hell? Shut up!
Rocky and Bullwinkle are so dumb.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But you know, Scarlett Johansson and Natasha Romanoff. She's kind of spy for the Avengers. And when that was made, I think it was kind of like Cold War-ish. I don't know. I do like CIA shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like Gibbs from NCIS?
No, that's not spy. That's so... What did you just say? Gibbs from NCIS? That is not spy. I mean, like, James Bond. Like, I mean, like, so that's MI5. Tom Cruise. In Mission Impossible, like they're like spies.
Movie.
Are you crazy?
Like that heist movie.
Yeah, that's criminals. Really hot criminals. But wait, you haven't seen any Mission Impossibles?
No.
I'm sorry. This will be the last episode of Magic Hour. What?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have off for spring break? I know like real people who work real jobs don't get off for spring break.
I have off for Passover, so I have off I think 4 days for Passover.
You're gonna
might as well be spring break.
There we go. So now you're going to actually I don't think you need to buy them. I think they're all on Amazon Prime and you're just gonna watch Mission Impossible 1 all the way to Dead Reckoning. And you're going to love them.
Okay, I'll put that on my list.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to love them. I really can't say you're going to love them. They're slick.
But I did start listening to that book that you recommended last week.
Which one?
Paul.
Oh, yeah. You told me Paul Selig, Book of Worth.
Yeah, Book of Worth.
Yeah.
And I've been like meditating and being like, I am who I am.
Nice. Has that been working for you?
I don't know. It's so early still. I went for a run one morning. I meditated. Every morning, though, I am taking a minute for myself.
So good.
It can't be hurting.
No, it can't be hurting, not unless you're going in there and mentally masturbating without any lube.
No.
Okay.
You gotta have the lube.
You do. You do need a little bit of lube with the mental masturbation.
No, my brain's just kind of revving up when I sit on the couch and I drink my coffee and I'm just like, I am who I am.
Oh, that's so like, that's so peaceful. I'm glad you have that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You helped give me that, Mel.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, my mornings don't look like that. My mornings are like, oh, fuck, I gotta pee. He's in the bathroom still. Okay, try to go back to sleep. Not doing that. Okay, just wait. Go back to sleep. Maybe I will this time. Watch some TV. Okay, now I'll go back to sleep. And then it's like 10 o'clock and I'm like, okay, finally, I can do what I need to do. And then I just go straight to the shower because I promise myself that every morning I will start afresh with a shower. And I do all my ablutions. You know, I have to oil my skin. And then I run out the door. And I get my coffee and I'm in the car. And then I do my meditation in the car. I don't close my eyes because I'm driving. But I do my meditation video, my meditation videotape, CD, whatever, in the car before I go to, especially before I do any mediumship work or psychic work, you know, to kind of like clear my chakras, get my shit in order, put myself in alignment for service and stuff. So
speaking of service,
yes.
Did you service yourself this week by your tarot card hearts in a...
Wow. Well, I know. I'm like, first it's the package, then it's mental masturbation, and now she just came right out with it.
Talking about masturbation.
Did I service myself?
No. I have... transition to ask you about your tarot card.
Well, yeah, because the one tarot card was like, there could be some conflict within relationships showing up. No, so far, but there's still time.
Yeah.
I'm waiting
tarot
for...
Tarot cards aren't on like a weekly...
Yeah, no. I'm actually... There's some things that were happening with my nephew and my brother and his mother and my mother. So I'm just waiting for the text message of somebody being like, Melanie, stay the hell out of it. I hate you, Melanie. Get out. Stop being involved, you know, because, you know, there's some parties who are trying to drag me in. And then I said, OK, I'm in there. And then, like, you know, it's just a matter of time before somebody doesn't like something I said. And I piss somebody off. It'll probably happen sometime around Easter dinner. Yep.
So you're going to your parents' house for Easter?
Yes. Or? Yes. So my parents are in town from Florida. They came up yesterday and we will have some dinner on Saturday because my sister and her husband and their kids will be in town and her husband and I are going to a schism concert. So I get to rock out.
And that's on April 6th.
No, that's the Saturday. And then Sunday dinner, which is Easter Sunday. We're going to have another dinner and then that'll be it. Exciting.
Very exciting. I keep forgetting that it's Easter this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Rhode Island with my partner and our two sons.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to go look at Brown University for Ben, who's graduating. I mean, I don't know if he'll end up going to Brown, but we wanted to look at it. And yeah, just taking a long weekend. It's also Lisa's birthday on the 6th.
Oh, mazel.
I mean, the 9th. And I think it's just like a nice moment.
Cool.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
It'll be peaceful.
Yeah.
Took off Monday and Tuesday. So have a long weekend.
Nice. That's really nice. Usually when I'm with my family, I need a vacation after that. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything bad. It's just that it's all high energy. Luckily, I asked my mom, I was like, do you read my blog? She's like, I don't have any time. So luckily she doesn't read my blog, nor does she listen to this. So I can say whatever I want. We're just high energy. She's high energy. And whenever we are around her, we become high energy. And there's very strong personalities. We're very quick. My dad is, the way he shows love is that he makes fun of you. He criticizes you, makes fun of you. So they're kind of harsh sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's not uncommon for music to start playing and us breaking out and dancing and pulling out the board games and getting really competitive and calling each other shitheads. Well, no cursing, but just being jerks to each other while playing board games. We can be intense with board games. And then
what board games?
Well, recently it's Rummy Cube, and now
I love Rummy.
Yeah, we can
it's
get pretty serious.
100, right? But with cubes.
But with cubes,
and it's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. But she got another game called Ice Joe. It's a Scandinavian game, actually. It's kind of like Rummy Cube. I'm gonna experience it this weekend. It's just really intense energy. And sometimes if we have extended family over, it's a lot of people in the house. I used to go there, especially when I chose to not drink anymore. Damn it, right? It's like, I'm finally allowed by my family again. And it's like, now I'm not drinking. Now I have to experience them sober. What the hell? But because I wasn't drinking, I'm really focused on being of service. So I was always doing the dishes and I was always setting up the table, and it became this anxious defense mechanism. And then recently something happened where my mom's like, oh, you were cleaning up so much and you made me feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, really, mother? Really? You're like almost 70 and you're... eldest daughter wanted to make sure that you didn't get stuck with the dishes, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Get back. So the last time we got together, I actually just sat there. I came late. I sat there, ate my food, didn't put away my plate, and then left. So it was really uncomfortable to do that, but I think I needed to do that for myself. I mean, because who says, you know, like, who gets uncomfortable because you clean up after yourself and others in a gathering? I don't know. It's okay. Everybody's allowed to
have their thing. Yeah, that's kind of thing about life. Everybody has their thing.
Everybody has we'll their
bump
thing.
Bump against them.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very irritating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. So I'm looking forward to it because I haven't seen them in a while, but I'm not looking forward to it because, you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know, I try to be myself. But I also know being myself can get me into some trouble. And I'm not really beat for trouble right now.
Yeah, so, I know what that feels like, too.
Yeah. So distance makes the heart grow, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny that you said that you mentioned Easter family. I was wondering, my mom was texting me like every single day and she just was saying like, hi, Meg, how are you? And I would say, I'm good, Mom. How are you? She'd be like, good.
I was wondering, where does your family fall with the holidays? But
they no, it's okay. I don't celebrate Easter. My mom, I guess, is just kind of like checking in to see if I am doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she wants to invite me to do something,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't. I mean, it's like she wants me to maybe say, or maybe she doesn't want to invite me. Maybe actually I'm working this out. She wants to know if I'm going to be with the kids, my brother's family.
Mm.
And if, I don't know, maybe she's invited. So something about the kids, but.
Have you ever thought about inviting them here? You have a lovely home.
I have. I had like a Christmas Eve the year we, like the first, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not this past, but the Christmas before.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big Christmas Eve party and a bunch of people came from Lisa's family, from my family.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I drank the whole entire time. You know what I mean?
I can understand that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could, if I would be able to handle that
mm-hmm.
without being completely
mm-hmm.
inebriated.
Mm-hmm. Look at you at the $5 words. I was going to say shit-faced.
No, I was fine. Like, that's the thing. Like, I drank all night, but I wasn't shit-faced or got to my, like, crazy end-of-night hyperness until they all left. But I was so... I think I would drink so much that I probably just smoked a vape and just, like, passed out. But what was happening to me a lot back in those days is I would drink wine at night, and then I would use my little vape, and I would get so hyper, and I would jump around, and I would exercise, and I would like do a bunch of stuff.
And I would get like sick. I would sweat to death. And I was like, oh my God. I would have a crazy sort of hyper sugar rush or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they call that a chemical imbalance. I used to do blow and then go to sleep. So I'm well aware of
hitting me.
It was crazy.
You would just go to sleep.
Well, if I wasn't fucking whatever was moving, whomever, whatever was in motion, if I wasn't fucking that, then I was going to sleep. I got so sleepy after I did blow. I can drink coffee and go to bed. Like
my friend Doug can drink coffee until the late evening.
Yeah.
Fine. I can't do that.
That's kind of how I realized after the fact that I have a chemical imbalance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stimulants make me sleepy. Sleepies make me stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alcohol and weed together makes me extremely stimulated.
Wow.
For like half an hour.
Mm. You can get a lot done in half an hour.
I was going too far.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Those were the days.
No, feeling sick is not fun.
No, it's not.
No, my partner would be like, Megan, I've never seen anybody sweat like this. Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I think I need to go to the hospital, but don't bring me. I'm just going to wait it out. If I die, I'm sorry.
Why is your face doing that?
Puddles of water.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And probably because of the medication I'm on and then that.
Oh,
so
when I used to drink and have my medication, I remember in college, I was on all this different med, all these different meds trying to find the right one. And I would drink. There'd be times where I didn't even make it into the bar because I just wake up at home like, I don't remember last night. Like, they're like, you didn't even make it inside, Melanie. Yeah. Like drinking with, and so disclaimer. Drinking while on prescription meds is not good.
Nope.
Don't do it.
And definitely don't drink and smoke.
And be on prescription meds.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It is wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. And I'm not like talking from like some psychic, like spiritual point of view. I'm just saying it's wrong because it's going to fuck you up. Wrong.
It does. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like you have to accommodate for it. When I started first taking a low dose of antidepressant,
mm-hmm.
I would get, drunker than normal. But mm-hmm. when I started being like fully medicated for all the things I need medication mm-hmm. for, which is only like three things, but it's still like a couple of things. So, and the particular medication, when I drink on it, it would just make me either sick or just fucking hyper. I still like the recent times. Well, I'm still on the medication, but the recent times I've drank, like when I had two martinis, I was telling you, I went back to my hotel room and I was so fucking hyper. And I was just like, take melatonin now, try to relax. And I was just like writing things. And like,
you didn't send any emails, did you?
No.
Oh, thank God. No emails after that.
Probably writing nonsensical ideas down, like just list things.
Your
just
magnum list. Opus.
Do you ever like write or make lists while you were under the influence?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote in my journal, and sometimes those were like the only times I wrote in my journal. And then I remember going back to kind of like read it and I couldn't understand a thing I wrote. So I was just like, okay, whatever. But honestly, like writing now is like, I can't, I don't do it on drugs or alcohol. I just don't because, I have to feel it. When you feel it, you it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I finished that Spiritual Teratoma blog. Wait, did I just say this? I finished the Spiritual Teratoma blog and then I put our podcast in it. So, and I got some people who got some likes. So I don't know if they have clicked on the blog, our podcast, from the blog, but we'll see what happens next. See who enjoys it.
Well, everybody will enjoy it.
Well, you know, this is the thing. This is the thing, right? So I write about my spiritual teratoma, and it's like this revolutionary, really awesome thing for me. But then when I write about it and people read it, people are like, sorry for me. They're like, oh my God, it's so painful. It's so sad. And it's like, I forget that these things are kind of sad.
They are sad, but you are so excited.
I know.
Discovering it and talking about it. And I mean, it is really an interesting sort of theory on it. And it makes a lot of sense.
And I'm like, I forget I'm supposed to be sad, or I could be sad about this. And instead it's like, it's answers. Why aren't you guys more excited for me? And one of my friends was like, don't worry, you won't stay broke. I'm like, That's what you got out of that? That I felt broken? No.
Seeing how my spirit and my body is keeping myself together so that I'm not broken.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it's so funny because I'm like brushing up against contrast this week, and it's like, I can't blame it on the teratoma. So it's just like one piece.
What about the solar flare? Can you blame it on that? Or
what's the solar flare?
Yeah, aren't there things going on? There's a solar.
Oh yeah, there's an eclipse coming. Why do I feel like
this all over the United States?
Oh, doesn't that happen like all the time? Northern Lights. Oh. Let me check out this.
But I also wanted to ask you about alcohol and spirituality. It's funny that certain alcohols are called spirits, right?
Most alcohols are called spirits.
They are. And then you're
back in the day.
Sort of possessed, too. It's very interesting how alcohol works on the body and the mind.
Yeah. I think so. There is a solar eclipse happening on April 8th. And according to those who follow astrology, that's supposed to be momentous. It's supposed to, you know, I think it's supposed to kind of reset some things that have been going on for people who are really in tune with that. I would like to know more about astrology. I just don't have the bandwidth right now to study it. But
I heard people on TikTok saying, like, make sure you fast at least 2 days, like get rid of. I'm so bad at fasting.
Oh, I love fasting. I fast all the time. Like my first meal is usually like around 5 or 6 o'clock. It keeps my blood sugar numbers straight. But fasting has been very helpful with keeping my blood sugar normal and just kind of like taking some of the guesswork out of functioning, you know, like. As a type 1 diabetic, I have to like take insulin for everything I put in my mouth. And that's I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But also trying to figure out and budget for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, especially when you're on the go all the time, is just, it's a level of function that I can't really deal with. So I really only focus on dinner. Coffee, dinner, and maybe some dessert. Usually always dessert, but like, but that's all I really focus on. Yeah.
Do you love dessert?
Yeah. I mean, there are times in our lives where we have to kind of cut some other things out to make space for some other things. So when I get a personal chef in a home, I'll focus on 3 meals a day.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, like you were mentioning something about alcohol and spirits. Makes me think of the use of absinthe, how people would use absinthe and they would call it the green fairy because it would take it to different. They would take you to absinthe. The use of absinthe would take you to different places, allow you to hallucinate, help you feel more spiritually aligned or spiritually in the flow, like Toulouse Lautrec and, you know, a few others. Sherlock Holmes, he's fictional. Yes, I know, but he still did it too. he was also opium addict, whatever. But, you know.
Well, I know nothing about Sherlock Holmes.
Well, I know nothing about Sherlock Holmes either, other than, you know, what, Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, So take it with a grain of salt. And but I know that, you know, when I used alcohol, it was my Red Bull. It gave me wings. It made me a person that I could tolerate, a person that I could even kind of like, until it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Until I realized that I had to keep taking in more and more and more of it to try to even breach that person I was trying to be. And I was definitely never dealing with reality as it was. It was always this reality that I was making up. And so, you know, it definitely had a spiritual quality, but not a spiritual quality that was sustainable or fulfilling or purposeful or one that could be easily managed or repeated with accuracy. Because whenever I take alcohol, not everybody's like this, but whenever I put alcohol in my body, all bets are off. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. I could end up in the bed sleeping just fine, or I could end up in Connecticut, you know, being a roadie for for a sideshow, you know, like, you know, waking up in a blackout, like, I have a new job. Oh, really? I go on now. Okay. What's my line?
That's so funny.
So, yeah. So I stay away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in my best interest.
Yeah, definitely. For me too.
Yeah. I mean, it also helps if you have a lot of legal ramifications too.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you haven't had a lot of legal ramifications as a result of your alcohol use.
No.
Then it kind of, or any sort of institutional ramifications, because, you know, it's fine until authority is involved.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're suicidal on an alcoholic binge and the next thing you know, you're in a padded room, like that's like...
Mostly,
you know,
I'm just a shithead and to myself.
Okay.
No, mostly I just like feel like I want to have sex with various people. And I think, I don't know how else I think, but I get really hyper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yes.
And I love that, actually. I love being hyper.
You know, sober sex was a really crazy thing. So crazy that I refuse to have it anymore. No. I'm looking. Looking. No.
Willing and ready.
Right. I didn't realize how much drugs and alcohol literally lubricated all my sexual experiences. It made it so much more effortless. And to be conscious, it's a real thing.
Yeah. And like mm-hmm. sleeping with people that you wouldn't normally sleep with.
No, yeah, that doesn't happen usually anymore.
Yeah, for me, like, I have a whole list of like men that I've slept with, but I'm gay.
Men? Oh, wow.
Yeah, lots of men.
What is so...
Not like that many men, but like enough.
Enough.
Like,
enough to question the life path.
Yeah. Like my friend Monica would always be like, no, she's bisexual. I'm like, I'm actually... Yeah. <bisexual." laughs>
You
know, it seems like I am.
It's so funny. Yeah, I mean, oh my God.
Smell.
Stick with it. Stand on that truth. Man, stand for it.
I should treat women when I drink. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still trying to women.
I know that I get all in my head now in sexual encounters. It's like, your mouth was just where? Like, did you wash your hands? Like,
yeah.
We should pause. Like,
I definitely
shower.
Exactly.
Like we're swapping fluids. I could do without that.
I feel more like, okay, let's make sure things are clean. Like let me wash my hands.
Well, you know. Well, it as I age, you know, and. You know, I think back in my drinking and partying days and my sexing days, and I think now in my adult days and, you know, I think it creates a standard, you know, like I want a responsible sex partner, you know, the guy that'll, or gal, I don't know, I'm looking, the person who's responsible enough to keep a washcloth by the side of the bed.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's mastered the move of the sheet wipe. You know,
yeah, definitely.
You know, just someone who's just more responsible, more conscientious, you know, in bed. You know, the people who are like, oh, my God, I just lost control. I'm like, what are you on? Can I have some? Because I don't lose control in sex anymore, ever. I don't know if I mean, yeah, well, yeah, anymore. Hmm. Yeah, I probably need some bondage play or something like that.
Yeah.
Back to the ropes, but like actually,
like some like can you go to the, do they have sex clubs still? Oh, that was a thing,
dude. Why was I looking for a sex club like, you know, not even 2 years ago? Like I want to go to sex clubs, but this is the thing, right? I have a cousin who is into alternative sex lifestyles. She has a master, and she wears a collar, and they're in there, and they're cute. But they're not attractive. And so I kind of feel like if I'm going to a sex club, it needs to be in LA.
Yeah.
Like, not like a tri-state area sex club. Yeah, I'm just like, you know, my friend is watching The Sopranos and I'm like, I don't really want to see James Gandolfini. No, he's dead. God rest his soul. I don't want to see James Gandolfini types at a sex club. I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I'm from Hoboken. Where are you from? Fucking like, I'm from Africa. Do not speak the language. That's not even African. I don't even know what accent that was.
Lesbian sex club. I've never been to
a lesbian sex club. We should find one.
Trans men are allowed.
Oh, trans men are okay.
Trans women are allowed too, but it's it's a lesbian, like a female.
Spring break.
If there's one in Brooklyn.
Oh my God. Who's schlepping up to Brooklyn? I'm
like, you can schlepping. Park. There's parking.
Who's driving in Brooklyn? Fucking Jersey girls through and through. If there's no parking lot.
I don't know if I could go to a sex club sober. I mean, I would be able to go sober, but I don't think I'd be able to participate.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to participate.
You just want to.
I just want to watch.
Yeah.
And then be like, maybe. And then maybe like, you know, 2 years of watching. After 2 years of watching, I'll maybe step in there. But so I have my birth chart read, and the reader, her name is Sydney Edwards. She owns Crystals of Quartz in Vernon, New Jersey. She is absolutely amazing. She is on Instagram. I think it's like your earthly guide on Instagram. In the area of love, she said that I need a very manly man. I need someone who I'm not afraid to follow because I'm a leader in my everyday. I need someone who's going to take charge. And then she said also that I need somebody that I am extremely sexually attracted to, or I will get bored. And somebody that I almost want to feel lucky that I'm with him. That hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So birth chart not fulfilled.
Interesting. Where does it say that? Like in your Chiron area?
Oh my God. I didn't even bring my computer in because I did a whole write-up about it. I think it was somewhere in Venus. Venus was in like my Virgo, and it's like, she said that my partner needed to have a Virgo, have Virgo tendencies or Virgo traits, because I have a lot of Virgo traits. Like when it comes to career and love, I have Virgo traits. I'm very organized. Well, I'm organized. I'm analytical. I'm orderly. All these things that I would never really have said about myself, but I actually really, really am. I won't say I go as far as say I'm fastidious, but like, I'm definitely like, there's a level of sophistication I think about me that I need in a partner. I don't even think people nowadays know what the word sophistication means.
I don't know.
Oh, listen to me bashing humans.
What have you heard about that? Speaking of bashing humans, you heard about the guy in New York punching women in the face?
No, but have you heard about Diddy? I really haven't. All I know is that he's a scumbag. But there's a guy in New York punching women in the face. Is he like a incel or something like that?
I don't know.
Well, now I got to Google
apparently
it.
Apparently, there's more than one person do it.
Oh, my God. It's a whole movement.
Punch women in the face.
Oh, my God. It's National Women's Month. Let's punch them in their faces. Yeah, because that makes sense.
It's interesting. I forgot it was Women's Month.
Because we need a month.
Yeah.
Women and blacks. Give them a month. No, women, gays and blacks. They all get a month. But it's a white man's lifetime. I am in some rare form right now. I don't even know why. I think because we were talking about family. That always makes me a little savage. Let's see, man. This is my Google prompt. Man punching women. Oh, it came up. Man punching women in NYC.
Yeah, it's a
USA Today. Man arrested after multiple women say they were punched in the face while walking on NYC streets. Police on Wednesday arrested a man on an assault charge following a recent string of unprovoked attacks reported by women across New York City, in which they said a stranger approached them and punched them in the head or face. Well, I'd have to say, Meg, that this is a step up from grabbing them by the pussy. Skibidi Skora, age 40, of Brooklyn, was arrested in connection to the attack of at least one woman this week as she walked the streets of Manhattan, a New York Police Department spokeswoman told USA Today. The victims fell on the ground and suffered injuries to the left side of the face. Now, I would say this is kind of like first world problems, because in third worlds, you know, if a man is not happy with the way a woman is acting, they can either set him on fire or throw acid in their face. So let's hope that these men do not become emboldened and decide to do that. Because
why do people do stuff like that to each other? It's ridiculous.
Because everybody wants to be all up in everybody else's business.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Nobody knows how to take accountability for their own fucking feelings.
Don't punch people. Why hurt another person physically? Hurt yourself.
Right. Here's your PSA. Do you feel like hurting somebody? Well, don't hurt yourself. The more you know.
If you're going to be violent, at least put it towards yourself.
Well, there was a similar attack on St. Patrick's Day. Surprise, surprise. Oh, man. Walking her dog, she was punched in the face. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will admit that while walking down the streets of New York, I feel an inclination to punch women in the face, too.
Wow.
I mean, and that is when I'm usually feeling my lowest. You know, like, I don't look that good. I'm not that skinny. Look at her and her fancy dog on the Upper East Side. Blah, 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 blah.
You and your nice clothes.
So we're going to tell any man who is in New York trying and has the urge to punch women in the face, come to New Jersey. You'll feel sorry for us. You will not. You will not feel overwhelmed, intimidated by the women of New Jersey. Come to New Jersey, and instead you will find that you will become brimming with compassion for the women here. That's all I have to say.
I was thinking,
we cannot air this podcast. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me today. I'm like, you and your Lululemon, boosh. Is that a purebred? Boosh.
I feel like being a superhero, capturing the New York puncher. You know, that feels like something like a Batman or a superhero style.
I really hope he's punching the entitled women. I'm really hoping he's punching the ones with Hermes bags. You know, like, not the women.
He's punching people, like, who are on their, punching, like, mostly women who are on their phones. Like, people are saying it's more than white women, but initially they were targeting, you know.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, well, I can only imagine.
He's like, what's your name? Meg. Okay, you're safe. What's your name? Karen. Boosh.
Yeah. Are you a Karen?
Are you a Karen?
It was like women with their hair parted and pulled back.
No, really? Is that what they said?
No, but I saw the people who got punched.
Oh.
They all had like a look about them.
So the unsub has a type.
I think so.
Ching, ching.
Privileged white women. Poom. Right in the kiss.
Right in the kiss.
But I
oh my God, this is horrible. Now I feel bad, but then I don't feel bad, but then I feel bad. Like,
but it's like they all have like a bruise.
Oh.
You know, you're laughing. You're like, I want to meet this guy. I love him.
No, no. Physical violence against anybody, men, women, animals, is wrong. I mean, I do not condone physical violence. That's why I don't engage in physical violence. Why can't we just keep it in our heads? Keep it in your heads, people. Talk about it with a friend. You know, like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I feel badly for these women who are now fearing for their lives. And then it's like, welcome to being a Black woman in America. You wake up every day, you fear for your fucking life. So I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. And any woman in America, any woman in general, with the minute they're born, they're taught to fear. Because
men are scary.
Well, not only are men scary, but we're supposedly not as strong, a vulnerable population. Like, do I walk around Highland Park with like my head on a swivel? Sometimes, yeah, because I just don't know. And I do believe there's a very large percentage of mentally ill people in Highland Park.
They're definitely.
But like, just in general, you know, you don't know what anybody's dealing with.
Yeah, there are definitely people who are.
And I mean,
talking to themselves in the streets and stuff.
So the whole idea of safety, like, I feel like it starts in you, you know, like it starts and ends in, with you. And so, like, I don't know how when you do, if you do get punched in the face walking down the street in New York City, does that change your idea of safety? Like, because honestly, like, if I get punched in the face by walking down the street in New York City, I'm like, okay, that's a random occurrence. I'm not thinking like now all of a sudden I'm not safe.
Well, when I see a snake in the woods, the rest of the time I hike, I feel like there's going to be another snake. So I can imagine that I would feel that way.
So you see a snake in the woods. And then do you feel like, oh my God, I'm not safe here?
Well, I feel like.
So there's a difference between being mindful, like that you don't step on snakes moving forward.
I'm like more nervous.
Really?
Yeah, definitely more nervous.
More nervous rather than more mindful.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, wow.
But I'm a nervous person.
And I have a chemical imbalance. Yeah. So
I was attacked by a dog at a very young
age. Me too.
I have like a physical reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
I had to get my jaw was broken. I had a hole in my leg.
Oh no, you were mauled by a dog.
Yeah, I was mauled by a dog. I was like brutally attacked. I don't know how else to describe it, but I have like a big scar in my leg and
oh my God. That's like, you should see my eyes right now. My eyes are like as big as saucers. Like, that's like real. I'm like, yeah, I got attacked by a dog too. And that's so not what happened to me. Like,
my jaw broke. I had to like get a wire in it.
What?
Stitches in my mouth.
Oh my God. That's real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have like,
I shut my mouth.
I have actual like physical reactions.
Okay.
Where I just feel I'm like physically nervous.
I get it. I can respect that.
And I love dogs and I like people.
Do you really? Because your house is full of cats.
I know, but it was. We did have dogs.
No,
I only recently have cats in my life in the last 5 years.
I was making a bad joke, but yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. That is really scary.
Mm-hmm. Like my scar hurts like I'm Harry Potter right now talking about it.
The dog that shall not be named.
His name was Coco.
Did they have to put him down?
It was like an alcoholic family and the guy was like a drunk guy who like beat his wife too. Like I wasn't supposed to be at this house. It was like a
wrong place, wrong time.
They were gonna put the dog down and then the dad ended up taking the dog in the backyard and shooting in the head. Like some real white trash shit. Like I'm not kidding.
Like you heard the gunshot or like?
No, I was told. I mean, it happened.
What? I guess he didn't want to pay or. Oh, God.
All I can do is just shake my fucking head.
This is a dark episode.
I know. You're going to have to do some magic with this one. You're going to have to get creative AF.
No, this is a dark episode. I think it's okay. Like, we're having a...
Yeah.
You know, things aren't always hunky-dory.
No, they're not.
But we learn to live with what we got and kind of...
Yeah.
Push on. I mean, you, when you came in, you heard me talking to my partner about...
Mm-hmm.
That, like... what's wrong with me physically,
mm-hmm.
like, what I have to change and what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know where I was going with this. I had a connection and I lost it.
Well, we were talking about how everybody doesn't have our days aren't always like the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And so that's why I really like, and I'm taking it, I'm running with it, the term spiritual AF. Because, like, just because you have a bad day doesn't mean you have to look like some sort of, like, paragon of morals and virtues. Like, yeah, I can, like, not feel so bad for women getting punched in the face and still be spiritual, you know? Still laugh at it, and know that it's kind of bad that I'm laughing at it, but still find humor. Like, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm not spiritual or that I don't care. You know, it's just today, I'm just a little savage. Today, I'm just like, this is where I am. And this is where you are, you know? And if we can help anybody with this episode, then talk to your therapist. Because I don't know if you want us helping you right now.
It's so funny.
If you think we're helping, talk to your therapist.
Exactly. You're so funny.
Oh, was at an event on Sunday and there was this guy doing this energy work and I saw he was like rubbing shoulders and I was like, okay, here's $60. Rub my fucking shoulders. But it was like this type of chi energy thing. So he's like rubbing my shoulders and then like throwing up a little bit in his mouth. So he's like rubbing and he's like.
Kidding.
No, shit you not. Because they have to like get rid of the energy that they're taking in from you. It's this whole modality. I don't even have his card on me. But I'm like, I would like to relax, but I'm making you vomit. And it's not like a real vomit. It was like a spiritual vomit. Like not, it wasn't like a bucket. But like the whole time they're working on people, they're like, they're like making all these mouth noise and vomiting sounds. And it's like, wow, you're really dedicated to this practice. And they're like, there's only 3 people in America who do this type of work with chi. And 2 of them are right here. And I'm like, thank you.
I'm just like, I don't know if I would.
I know. I'm like, thank God that wasn't full body.
$60 to throw up. Dude,
I gave this man $60 to throw up my chi. I will say though, I was no longer in pain.
Seriously?
I was no longer in pain. I felt actually energized.
Because of the massage or because of the puking?
I think it was all. It was a whole thing. It's God, the newest, hottest craze.
The newest, hottest craze.
I will say that it was an energy exchange that I did think had a significant effect on me because I was no longer in pain. My head felt so much better. He does work in Cranford, but shout out to no. I know chi pukes. The ancient art of chi puke. And I'm doing readings for these women and I keep hearing like and I'm like, what the hell is going on the whole time?
And you had to keep it together.
I had to keep it together. I had to just keep doing readings and then I paid him to do it to me. Right?
You got subliminally.
I did.
Like, damn, he is that guy.
Oh my God. Day. All day. What's a little more? You know, and I'm like, what do? I'm like, I apologize for my disgust, my nauseating energy. I mean, that is just crazy.
Flipping weird.
It was weird. He's like, oh, a lot of spiritual energy. I'm like, no shit. I was just sitting next to you. Oh, he didn't even notice you. Oh no, you were too busy barfing the whole time.
You didn't. I would have been like, you didn't notice me. You noticed. Throw up your own cheeks.
Fucking people, man.
I know.
I just can't deal. Did you draw one yet? Am I drawing one first? What's the deal?
Shuffle, please, and draw.
Okay.
Tarot card.
Shuffle and draw, time for our tarot card. Please tell me something interesting about what I should focus on this week as I prepare for the fight that's coming. No, but the other card I had was the Empress.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, you're going to be creative. So I wrote an ebook.
Yeah, and that was a major arcana.
Yes, I wrote an ebook. I wrote my business outline of what's kind of trying to happen this year. And I started this new workshop that I'm trying to get off the ground. It's about building a spirituality that works for you in this time. Oh, pentacles. That means money.
Work.
One, two. Oh, wait. I need to just read it. Eight. Eight of pentacles. And then underneath, Queen of Cups. Okay, Queen of Cups. Beautiful, fair, dreamy woman. As one who sees visions in a cup, divinatory meaning. Good, fair woman, honest, devoted, who will do service to the querent. Wow. Querent. Q-U-E-R-E-N-T. Loving intelligence intends the gift of vision, success, happiness, pleasure. Also wisdom, virtue. Reversed. The accounts vary. Good woman, otherwise distinguished woman, but one not to be trusted, perverse woman, vice, honor, and dishonor, depravity. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's interesting.
I have the other one.
Okay, what's the other one?
So the other one's Eight of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm.
A sculptor sits on a bench engraving a five-pointed star with his hammer and chisel. I almost said chisel. What does that even mean? Beneath his bench is a pentacle he has just completed,
mm-hmm.
while another pentacle rests against the end of the bench. Five pentacles hanging from a post, showing the level of skill and diligence the sculptor has gained thus far. Upright, apprenticeship, a profitable undertaking, employment, commission, skill, handiwork, the arts. You need to master a new skill in order to succeed. A new period of learning is beginning. The skill you need is something hands-on, possibly in the arts or crafts. If you apply yourself, your new skill may lead to renowned employment and commission of your work in the future.
I'm sorry. I had to just to tee up that energy. Wow. No, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Here, you draw yours.
All right. Here's the app.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what she got.
You can explore the cards. I love that app because they just pull up things. I was using ChatGPT the other day and I was like, I pulled these two cards together. What does this mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't give you any insights or whatever, but it sort of like gives you a summary.
Did it blend the top cards together?
Well, it gave you both.
Gave you both.
And a blend.
Okay.
It could, and it says like, it could mean this, but it doesn't, like, it's a robot. It doesn't.
What? ChatGPT is a robot?
It's AI. It's art. Oh. Oh, well, it's artificial. Queen of Pentacles.
Ooh, Queen of Pentacles.
And we're going to get the
Queen of Pentacles. Upright, an earth mother type of person, nurturing, generous, charitable, and noble. Opulent, security, practical talents. Reversed, a lazy woman, dependent, foolish with money, stubborn, foolish, gloomy. So, yeah, generous, charitable, noble, opulent, security, safe, practical talents. She's either showing up in your life or she's, let's see, represents a generous, kind, nurturing woman. She's intelligent, reversed. This person can be mistrustful and suspicious of those around her. I guess who's showing up for you, right? I don't know. You read it. I don't know. I can't really tell what part you read.
Sorry. The Queen of Pentacles represents a generous, kind, and nurturing woman in your life, possibly your mother or grandmother.
Mm.
The Queen of Pentacles is a trustworthy person, always practical by nature, someone who instills security in your life, a truly great soul. She is always willing to help another person. Intelligent and wise, the Queen rules the material aspects of life. Her special areas of interests are the sciences, especially agriculture science, and animal husbandry. That's an amazing word. Sometimes this card can refer to a rich benefactor, possibly in your own family. The Queen of Pentacles represents a person who adores splendor in all things, who is happiest at home in the country rather than living in a city. This woman always attracts wealth to her door, along with animals and birds, her kindred spirits. This is Lisa. This reminds me. This is Lisa.
Oh,
honestly.
So what about your staves or your wands? What are those staves?
I love that you call them staves.
What are they, nine?
It's a nine. A nine of staves or wands. Determination, courage, strength through adversary. Adversary, good health. Good, thank goodness. There is a pause in conflict, and this gives you time to rest and collect your thoughts. You're defending something of great personal importance to you. This gives you the motivation to succeed. Combined with your mental attitude, your strength of will, and your physical strength, success is the only possible outcome. Hell yes.
Yeah.
I am working on myself spiritually, and that is of great importance to me. And I am having a rest period coming up. And I want to get stronger. And I have a doctor's appointment on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Back. And I think, yes, Lisa and this.
You're right on track. That's awesome. Good for you. Well, I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
And you
I
close?
Appreciate it, Mal. It's a dark episode, but sometimes we need these dark episodes in life to make the really fun ones more fun.
Yeah, right.
So I hope you have a great time with your family over this holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And I will see you next week.
Yes, bon voyage into Rhode Island. Have fun.
Thank you.
Later.